7:30 right now, and it's time to chat with Zeke. Good morning, Zeke.
Howdy. How are you doing?
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I have a cold.
I'm sorry to hear
that. I'm sure everybody does around me.
I've heard it's going around.
It's going around. It's taking its rounds. You have a live studio guest with us today.
We have Cameron Skeen, world traveler. He is also an amazing sculptor and, in my estimation, if not the best, one of the best art writers in town.
Thank you.
No problem. My pleasure. I want to know it because I got you in so as to talk about two things. The first being the Anish Kapoor show that you saw out in Delhi.
Right.
And I want to know why did you just go there to go see the show, or were there other reasons? What possessed you to travel, 3/4 of the way around the world?
Yeah, almost directly halfway. It's like exactly 11 hours ahead, I think it is. But that was a bit of serendipity. It was my wife's family is from Delhi, and there was a family event. So basically, we dragged our two kids, left our older one behind, and dragged them out there for a 50th anniversary of her uncle.
Very cool.
Yeah, yeah. But the serendipity involved, there just happened to be the Anish Kapoor exhibition in Delhi. It's sort of a retrospective exhibition that takes place both in the city of Delhi and in these Bollywood studios in Mumbai that they opened up for.
Is his stuff as always as large as the ones that I've seen, or does he do small stuff as well?
Yeah, medium-sized. A lot of it seems to be, I guess, a proper approximation would say body size. You know, you're meant to actually go in there and interact with the work with your body. In general, he back in the 80s, he used to do smaller works, and smaller paintings as well. But he's known more for his very, very large art projects integrated into public spaces.
Yeah, like the Millennium Bean in Chicago. That's the one that
I know most.
And there's some other...
CloudGate. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a shiny, polished aluminum sculpture in, Place des Arts, and there's sort of like a sculpture thing next to Sel Wilfrid Peltier that I refer to as Montreal's Anish Kapoor statue, just because it's so shiny.
And there's also one in front of the CBC in Toronto.
Oh, and Anish Kapoor?
Yep,
Anish Kapoor. Oh, very cool. Because the one at the Place des Arts is not an Anish Kapoor, just is, since I... equate him with just shiny metal, shiny aluminum objects.
it's Anish Kapoor-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But
Toronto's got... I'm jealous now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I remember it made a bit of a splash in the 90s that they have this, public sculpture in front of the CBC when they built the broadcast center, and it wasn't Anish Kapoor, and consciousness of it seemed to have dropped off the map for some reason. I was down there for the art fair recently, and I just realized right across the way was that sculpture. Mm-hmm. I, just never bothered looking at it, just passed it by, and this time I went, oh, I forgot, Anish Kapoor. In Canada.
Uh-huh. So tell me about the exhibit in terms of, two cities, Mumbai and Delhi.
In Delhi,
Inside, and then the studios are outside, or are they interior studios?
Well, the museum in Delhi has a new wing, and this is why they've had basically their second international museum standard exhibition, Anish Kapoor. Previous to that, they had a Picasso exhibition that they had to hold in the museum, which isn't very far from, the National Gallery. There's a lot of public buildings built around this circle called India Gate. What they did have before was a building called the Jaipur Building, which was an old British Raj-style building that wasn't really up to standard. And so they built the new wing in 2009. And this Kapoor thing has been apparently rattling around in people's heads for about 10 years. It's his first exhibition in India, which is surprising. He was born in Mumbai, and what I didn't realize is that he was in Mumbai until he was 16, when he sort of, made his way out to study engineering in Israel, and then he jumped over to the UK and started studying art there. And then he just sort of got the Turner Prize.
Did fall out of the sky or something.
He was in the Venice Biennale, I think, is where he made his first mark, international notice. And then after that, it's been you know, public commission after public commission, and his works get quite large.
Those are the ones that I'm sort of familiar with. These are the big ones that are sort of like much larger than body's eyes.
Yeah, the Tate Modern is people would be familiar with because I think that was one of the first times he just went into this gargantuan size. He's an artist that works with more of a factory than, you know, plugging away at things in the studio. What was interesting about the exhibition itself, when you first in, you actually have to pass through a metal detector and have your bags scanned and everything like that. It's almost like all public spaces in Delhi, which surprised me. You get into the Jaipur building, and then there are all those models from those large public commissions that they settled. And that was really one of the most revealing things about the shows. I had seen Anish Kapoor before, but I hadn't seen those tiny models that he made. And they were fascinating because they actually had sort of, you know, the hand of the artist sort of, you know, working out the sculptural tensions in things like nylon hose and, for instance, Cloud Gate, which, you know, it's sort of a globular bean structure, which, people have commented on. Apparently, he hates the term bean in description for that cloud gate.
But I can understand.
Yeah, but it was actually worked out with balloons, you know, in an architectural model. And so it was very direct. You could sort of see what he was playing with, what colors he was dealing with. He, you could see the thought process a little more. It was really quite interesting. One of them, one of the models for Marcia's, which was that one of the Tate Modern, was, like I said, a colored nylon hose sort of stretched in this foam core box that he had constructed. And it was just tiny, but you could actually see that the big thing about Kapoor in those works are, once you bump up the scale and you add engineers and then you add all this knowledge about how to actually construct the piece, then they become these massive, amazing works. And apparently the work in Chicago is really quite well received now.
Yes. It's sort of, as far as I know, it's sort of tourist attraction. People just come from miles around so as to take their picture, have their picture taken next to it.
Yeah, and actually, despite the fact that people diss the Wikipedia, there's an amazing amount of information about Cloud Gate on the Wikipedia. What is unusual about that kind of information is that they actually have a little chart that tells you how they polished the steel, and the entire construction of the thing is step by step. It was really pretty informative. But besides that, once you get out of the Jaipur building, which, like I said, was a 19th century building housing the models, you get into the new wing, and the new wing's a big deal. Like the exhibition itself, it was inaugurated by Sonia Gandhi. They're post Commonwealth Games, they've been sort of, pushing Delhi, you could tell, the powers that be locally. At any rate, the new wing is, large, complex, spacious, modern building, and then they house the real works in there, I guess, quote-unquote, the real works. Mumbai houses the Canon piece, and the title escapes me right now. I just didn't write it down, but I never got to Mumbai. But the Canon piece just basically shoots this red encaustic sort of mixture into a corner until the red wax piles up. Kapoor has a tendency to work in a monochrome because he wants to he doesn't want color to be a part of composition. He wants it to be a unified whole that somebody sees and contemplates. He uses color in a lot of times as sort of it's kind of hard to explain. So you sort of get sucked in by the color and texture. It's very calibrated. The piece that he has, the largest piece that he has in the new wing, is a piece called, and I'll just go through my notes here, Past, Present, Future. It was in 2006. It's sort of this semi-sphere. I don't know if it's gigantic, sort of a quarter ball with an arm that sort of shapes this coating of red encaustic And I say encaustic, meaning it's it's a mixture of wax, red pigment, and apparently petroleum jelly and a few other things just to keep it wet. And this arm swings around shaping the piece, and it sort of leaves an imprint of what's left behind as it sort of molds it. It moves very slowly. The effect of it is, you get the sort of plodding effect of time, you know. What was interesting about the whole show was that it seemed to contextualize Kapoor in India. And everything that I've read about him since, he wasn't in town the same time as me, so I wasn't able to, secure an interview with him.
Shucks.
Yeah. But I did talk to the director, and pretty much across the board, he tries to sort of poo-poo the connection to India, rightfully so. He's probably just sort of doesn't really want people to think that it's all he thinks about, which is fine. But the things do pop up. I mean, the deep pigments, are used, especially the dry pigments of his early work. He had taken a trip to India in 1979 and, saw basically piles of pigments in the market for sale, piles of pigments outside of shrines. Things like that. India's a strange place. I mean, it's miles and miles of junk, and then all of a sudden, say you're going down in the countryside, these odd structures will pop up. Odd shrines. Gigantic highway gods. All of a sudden, four stories high. These inflections of color that will pop up all of a sudden in a pretty drab landscape. It's a teeming city.
Now, I definitely can imagine that just getting all of them together not only puts them, contextualizes them within his work, but then also then seeing it around where he's from. It's even if he wants to poo-poo the sort of India connection, it's right there in your face.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking to the director, Rajiv Lokan, who got this exhibition going, they had apparently gone to the same school, in India. He's also a painter, but he has an entire philosophical construct that ties Kapoor in with Indian philosophy, and you could sort of see it when you go through the exhibition. Some of it coming from an angle where if you go to a major museum exhibition in North America or in Europe, you'll see a lot of space given to things, especially to a Kapoor, where you can step back and take in the piece. In the exhibition itself, it seems kind of jumbled when you walk in. You'll have a mirror piece over here. You'll have one of his pure pigment pieces over there. They'll have pieces from the 80s. And, usually what you're looking for in a retrospective is some kind of line of thought throughout this whole thing. So it looked a little jumbled. But what happened was every time you looked at the piece, you generally got the same effect, whether it was from a mirrored surface or whether it was from a concave disc. He sort of ends up, not him, but actually the viewer ends up getting a little bit disoriented between what they see in front of them and where they situate themselves as, as a body, looking at these things. He tricks the eye. Doesn't necessarily trick the eye necessarily. He just makes you not feel like a person in space when you get up to his, you don't know quite where left and right is, up and down is, the whole bit. So he plays with that all the way through. And once you realize that there's a consistent reaction, and I haven't gotten them from all of Kapoor's pieces in general, but in this exhibition, it seems to be fairly consistent. Rajiv Lokan was insistent that, he plays with a concept called shunya, which is, a nothingness, basically. But as he put it, it was nothingness and fullness, which was a little bit cryptic for me, but I just took his word for it.
Okay. Is it a one-shot deal? The show is just going to be in India, or are there any chance of it going elsewhere?
No, this is just purely an Indian thing. It was a huge event for them because they don't get, like I said, they don't get a lot of international exhibitions coming through. The logistics are, I can't even imagine what the logistics of moving an exhibition like that is. He had mentioned that there were secret routes. Everything was hush-hush. And like everything in Delhi that I saw, everything had, you know, they had armed guards for it, you know, moving. The one thing that was, sort of showed up the contradictions and the problems of mounting an exhibition like that in a place like Delhi was the work that they had outside, which was Sky Mirror. And it was housed in the UK before. It basically is a concave mirror that points up at the sky. Apparently there's an entrancing effect. It was set low to the ground in England. I saw some videos of it, and you could just sort of contemplate the passage of time, the sky above you. You know, you sort of sink into it, and you know, birds will flit across. The clouds will slowly move, etc., slightly distorted by the concave mirror. Interesting and pointed about Delhi is that they sort of mounted it a little high up, so the angle was strange, and also the effect was a bit lost because I was there in the winter. There's sort of a permanent haze in Delhi at that time, or a permanent smog.
Yes.
So basically, all you were looking up into was a big patch of gray. You know, occasionally, and you had to wait for it. Occasionally, a bird would flit across. But you could see that the particulate matter in the air was already getting on the mirror and sort of dripping down. And they had somebody try to climb up and wipe it with a rag or something. So there was this sort of clear spot in the middle where a guy had tried to clean it and then had given up. But it sort of pointed to how difficult it must be to get these exhibitions through. I mean, the place is completely teeming with activity right now because of the investment and the wanton spewing of junk into the air by companies and things. It looks like it's a hard thing.
I'd love to say I'm going to get to see it, but not, especially given how you describe yourself. I'd love to see it, but it's unfortunate I'm not going to be able to.
I want to add something of Anish Kapoor's website, which is anishkapoor.com, and where you could see all those images as well in case some listeners have access to online. And that there's a sea mirror as well that I see, which is similar to the sky mirror, I guess, of what you were mentioning.
Oh, it's probably the same one, yeah.
Yeah, the same principle or same ideas. I'm just so drawn to the screen right now of looking at how you were describing it and then seeing his other works as well, because it's wow, like so much architectural feats he's been producing, and it's just wow, it's really worth reading upon or doing some more research about it.
Absolutely.
So thanks so much for coming in and chatting about that, especially comparing from your experience in India and then in England and in Canada, right? Because there's so many different cultural environments to take in, especially when it comes to art and how it's displayed and how people appreciate it or how people try to interact with it.
Absolutely.
It's always really, really fascinating. And yeah, it's already 7:50.
Cameron,
this is such a great conversation.
Thank you very, very much. We're going to have to get you back so we can talk about the Camp Dead Cat Bounce later.
Yes, absolutely.
Indeed.
Thank you, Chris.
Indeed. And once again, that website is Anish Kapoor, AnishKapoor.com. Do you also have a blog, or should we mention it through Zeke's blog?
Oh, yeah. You can get a hold of me through CameronSkeen.ca, or you can just Google my name. SKENE is the last one.
Perfect. Thank you so much.